G'day punters and welcome to Winning Post's preview podcast for the weekend of Saturday, February 16. I'm John Barker. Joining me as usual is Joel Marshall. Well, Joel, the champion racehorse of Australia makes her 2019 debut on Saturday, which certainly is one of the most exciting things about the day, one of the things most to look forward to, but boy, oh boy, there are more exciting races on Saturday from a punting perspective.
Certainly the case, yeah. You're not going to be getting rich, but highlight of the day, as you mentioned, the Apollo Stakes. Winks goes round one of six from the Waller camp, just two outsiders, if you can call them those. A happy clapper for Pat Webster, and he'll be a pretty warm second favourite too. Looks the logical Quinella runner, and Aloysia from the Mar Eustace yard. So yeah, light on numbers, but that's what we've come to expect. She scares her rivals away, and most of these are just kicking off their campaign to hopefully try and win something deeper into the autumn. But she'll make it 30 on the trot. But we've also got fantastic racing at Flemington, Group 1 Lightning Stakes. Very intriguing, with a number of youngsters lining up, 4 3-year-olds, and very rare occurrence with a 2-year-old filly lining up, Jettastar, with just 44 kilos on her back. So you would think there'll be handlebars down, and catch her if you can.
Yeah, so I took my 10-year-old son to the doctor the other day, and he weighed in at 45. So wow. There you go.
I think Chris Cassert has had the task. He's been known for a couple of weeks, I think around 2 or 3 weeks. So he's been eating celery and lettuce, and I think that's just about it.
Alrighty, well, we will start at Flemington. Big fields throughout the day, but only the four black type races. Certainly the Black Caviar Lightning, a huge highlight, as you mentioned, Joel. The battle between young and old is going to be fascinating. That's what I've written about in Best Bets and Winning Post this week. We'll get to that shortly. First, we'll go to the first of the black type races at Flemington on Saturday. And that's race four, the Tullindit Stakes, 1,100 for two-year-olds, set weights and penalties.
You're going with 7 Charvet here, the Zeus Star filly from the Busted and Young stable. She debuted in the Clockwise Classic at Ballarat and beat all bar Hawker Hurricane. We've seen him come out since that race and run really well in the Diamond Prelude last week. And the third horse was El Burke, Hawker Hurricane stablemate, and he's run well both times since, including in a Blue Diamond preview. So nothing wrong with the form, I wouldn't have thought, from Charvet, and liked her recent trial at Cranbourne. Probably drawn the right spot too there out wide. So 7 on top for me. Quite been taken by the jump outs of number 5, Excess Funds, from the Levi Cavanagh yard. He's had 3 recent jump outs, so should be fit and raring to go. He's won a couple of them, one round a bend, one down the straight. So certainly respectful of him on debut. One microphone, little to doubt, in the way of his form so far. Down the straight, 1 on debut, and then very good chasing I Am Immortal in the preview. Just barrier 1's obviously the knock. And 13, I Am, might be a roughie that can improve. She jumped out okay down the straight and was a bit disappointing against Loving Gabby. Winkers on, drawn out. She'd trialled against Loving Gabby too and had run 2nd. So maybe at 30 or 40 to 1, she might be a blowout chance and a big improver.
I'm with you, Joel. Charvet. I've got Lana Gira and Microphone, the two Godolphin horses, for 2nd and 3rd. As you mentioned, the in fact, what's really is leaning me into Charvet is Barrier 15 versus Barrier 2 and 1 for the Godolphin horses. For 4th, I'm giving Art Collection another chance, number 9. So 7, 4, 1 and 9 are my numbers. Race 5, the TAB Vanity, 1,400 for 3-year-old fillies at Group 3 level, also set weights and penalties.
Yeah, tricky with a few fit horses coming off wins against inferior opposition, and then we've got the class returning up the top. So always a bit tricky, you're sort of looking towards market moves to give you a point. I've gone with number 3, the Closer, and I wouldn't be surprised if she took the next step this prep. Won 2 of 3, her only miss was down the straight, 1,100 metres, she drew barrier 1. Behind Blue Roche, and she ran as well as she could from that barrier, only beaten 3 lengths. Then she went to Ballarat, was backed, and won very impressively. I'm expecting her to, yeah, as I said, take that next step up to black type company this prep, and it might be on Saturday getting a good run from that draw. 1 Amphitrite, Thousand Guineas winner, no luck against the older mares in the Empire Rose, and it was probably just too much of a task, 2,500 of the Oak. So, you know, apart from those last two, her form's pretty faultless. Nine Sham Wow, big wraps on this filly. She was entered for the Cox Plate. She got rolled on debut. They tipped her out, but she impressed at sale. Only beat five horses, so a big step up in grade, but certainly has the makings of a talented filly and two very elegant, classy filly. She did plenty wrong in the spring. She still managed to win a Group 3. Probably going to be warming up late.
Sham Wow for me on top from Anford Trite. Fundamentalist I have got in for third. She has just been taking on, takes on the males, takes on the mares, been running in the top class races. Interesting to see what she can do back in a Group 3 fillies race and only a kilo above the minimum under the conditions. And for fourth, I've got my pendant, who just keeps winning. Needs to step up here, of course. 9, 1, 4, and 5 for me. We skip over to race 7. It's the Colts division. The C.S. Hayes Stakes, same conditions. Group 3, 1,400.
13, Adana for me. Liked his return in Sydney. Just couldn't quite reel in Vega Days, who's 3 from 3, but kept pulling ground off him in the run to the line. We saw him down here at Flemington in the Carbine Club. Just got too far back from the wide gate, but hit the line strongly behind Ranier. I think, market hasn't missed him. I think he might have been $15 or $16 off nominations, but perhaps they weren't overly sure whether he was going to run here. But he turned up, and then the market went up, and he was $6 equal favourite. So they've found him, but I think he'll be very hard to beat. 7 in for second. Wish he had drawn a bit better. He's drawn wide, so he's going to have to go right back probably, Mickey Blue Eyes, but taking a line through his Dulcify form in the spring, he beat Gem Song and Purple Sector. They ran 1-2 in Sydney last week. And, just respectful of him. I think he'll be hitting the line hard at good odds. 1 in for third, Ring-a-ding-ding, on the quick backup from his fresh run at Caulfield last week. I think Flemington's more his go. Again, he's going to get right back, but he's got a booming finish on him, as we've seen many times. And number 5, Performer, in the same colours as Adana. He took on the older horses first up in Sydney, ran on pretty well there behind an in-form sprinter. And you look at his runs through the spring, he was chasing three horses that are all in the Lightning. I think the step up in distance will suit him.
Well, the $6 the field, as you mentioned, Joel, and the openness of the race is possibly suggested by the fact that I've got four completely different horses. either that or it suggests that I don't know what I'm doing. Although, having said that, we went head-to-head with our best bets last week, Joel, and Avilius got the money.
Yeah, you crushed me.
Now, this time, I've got my value bet up against your best bet, and I have been waiting for this horse to cross Bass Strait, and that is number 8, The Inevitable, has been braining them over there. And Scott Brunton rarely goes home completely empty-handed when he brings one over here. Very keen to see how The Inevitable is going to shape up against these classy mainland three-year-olds. I've got Ranier, despite the horror gate from barrier for the 1400 metre start of barrier 16. For second, I've got O'Torto for Greg Urell for third, very much in form and stepping up in class, obviously, on that impressive midweek win last start, number 14, Age of Chivalry. 8 for 11, 14. The big one is race 8. It is the Black Caviar Lightning, 1000 metres. Standard weight for Age, worth a decent chunk, 750. And of course, for some of these, particularly your three-year-old colts and your filly and your two-year-old filly, massive money, of course, in the breeding barn can be derived from winning a race like this. As I've written in the Winning Post and Best Bets this week, 2005 was the last time that a three-year-old won this race. We go back to 1976 to find a two-year-old, and that was desirable. She was a filly, and then before that, you go back to 58 and 59. We had or 56 and 59, perhaps. I can't quite remember, but certainly one was a colt, one was a filly. And in fact, the last time a filly, the last time a two-year-old did any damage in this was Clever Zoe in 1993, another filly. So that, you know, that very, very lightweight might be the thing that can, you know, when they've only got that very lightweight, maybe they can keep bowling along and hold on at least for a drum. But as I say, go back to 2005, that was Fastnet Rock. You've had 28 three-year-olds run since then, and some pretty darn good ones too, and including a couple of years ago the fave, much as is the case on Saturday. I think it was it Extreme Choice, Flying Artie, sort of horses. They were dominating the betting, and they got rolled by Terra Vista. So interesting. But having said that, all four of my picks are for 3-year-olds, Chop.
Yeah, well, three of my top four are. You make a good point in your best bets column, though. You mentioned the winners of those Lightnings in that time: Takeover Target, Miss Andretti, Apache Cat, Scenic Blast, Black Caviar times 3, Lankan Rupee, Chautauqua, Terra Vista. And I guess, Red Kirk Warrior, he's won a Newmarket as well, so not, I was going to say to a lesser extent, but not him. There's none of those in this race.
No, well, that's right. And that's, in fact, that is a point. We look at this race and it's a really exciting race. It's a great race that we're looking forward to. But you have a look at it, there's only 3 Group 1 winners in it, and they've all only won 1 Group 1 each. So, on those raw facts, it's not the strongest Lightning there's been.
No, exactly. And, Osborne Bulls is seen as the pick of the older brigade, and, very smart. 9 from 14, he's measured up in the Everest, and he's won down the straight, and clearly a winning hope. But outside of him, I think it's there up for the taking for the 3-year-olds. I've lent with lent to Graf. Number 8, just think we didn't quite see the best of him in the spring, and he was very good first up. He was again very good in the run to the Rose when beaten by Lean Mean Machine, but he had a tougher run, and he just sort of got found out late on the heavy track. He was excellent in the Golden Rose and ran super in the Everest for a 3-year-old, again on heavy ground. Liked his jump out down the straight last week, so I've lent to him. Listeners will know I've got a definite soft spot for In Her Time. I seem to pick her and back her all the time, and she's rarely far away. I think she should have won the VRC Classic through the spring. She just got onto the back of the wrong horse at the wrong time while Santa Ana Lane got the run through, and by the time she got back to the inside of the track and ran on, it was just a fraction too late. Barrier 1 worries me. So look, from a punting perspective, if you can back both of them, that's what I'm going to be doing. Graf and In Her Time, I'll single those two out. 10 Sunlight in for third. We've seen her beat a couple of the gun 3-year-old colts in the Coolmore, so the straight's not a problem for her. And Lean Mean Machine, just think he might be more of a Newmarket horse. Just reckon 1,000 is right at the limit for him, and I reckon he'll be hitting the line, and he'll be putting his hand up for the Newmarket. So I've gone 8-4, 10-9. As I said, Osborne Bulls wouldn't shock you because he's got such a winning habit and a big finish about him.
Yeah. 1,000 is a query for a lot of these, isn't it?
It is.
A lot of them. It's remarkable how many of them haven't even started. Sunlight is my top selection. She hasn't won at 1,000. She won placed on debut in that early 2-year-old race, and then she got smashed by Major Strip 10:50 first up last time in. So look, I can't. Yeah, not a great deal of confidence about a $4 favourite. Really, but I'm thinking that they'll have her wound up because a filly like that, you don't pass up the opportunity to win races like this and worry about something else down the track. So that's my thinking, but I'm not really $4 I would think would be short enough. In fact, I'd be surprised if she started that short. So Sunlight to beat Lean Mean Machine, written by. Yeah, I'm not writing him off on the basis of the first up defeat, and all those three are drawn what we would assume is the right side of the track as well. In fact, they're drawn the three outside stalls, and then I've got Graf for fourth from the other side, 10, 9, 7 and 8. As I mentioned, the value bet for me is race 7, number 8, The Inevitable, and my best is race 2, number 3, Shabao, although, and he's certainly short enough, he's marked odds on in your winning post, but a lot of the tipsters want to take me on. Richo and Daniel Borg both got Hangman as their best. In fact, Hangman is slightly more favoured than Shabao. So, however, I'm happy with Shabao. What about you for your best? We heard your best job was Adana.
Adana.
And you take us to the last for your value bet.
Yeah, Mask of Time. A tricky race. You can make case for quite a few of these. But I think Mask of Time will run well fresh. I didn't mind his nice little quiet trial at Cranbourne last week. Damien Lane was aboard and went to the line pretty much under his own steam. He was close up behind Widgie Turf, first up at 1400. Last prep, he went on to have a pretty good campaign. Got a dead heat win in the Coonjee with Best of Days, which is Group 1 form. 15 goes on good tracks for 1 second, 1 third. Reads horrible for the sort of track that you're going to cop at Flemington. But he's run a number of fourths on good tracks. It's not as if he's absolutely hopeless on top of the ground. A bit of sting out would be ideal. But, yeah, I'm not too worried. I just think those stats are a little misleading. If you go back and have a look, he's run some good races on top of the ground. So he is my value bet, race 9 at number 7.
Randwick is the venue for Winx's comeback on Saturday and also three other group races. First of those is race 5, Southern Cross Stakes. Handicap at group 3 level over 1,200 metres.
I've gone with 9 Brutal. I was against him last week, and with Gem Song, obviously he came out and Gem Song's price got slashed in half. They wanted to save Brutal from having to run on the wet track. He trialled on Monday, trialled really well, as you'd expect him to. Look, 3 for 3 unbeaten, $1.75. I think that's very short. He's the most likely winner, and I've put him on top, but yeah, very short. I'm going to be playing Quinellas and Exotics with numbers 4 and 5. 5 Noir in for second. Probably should have beaten Invincibella first up last prep. She copped a mid-race check and then launched and just missed, and she won second up. Her second up record's outstanding, but I think she can run really well fresh. She's been trialing well. And 4 Lanciato's big odds, $17. He's got a big finish on him. Mark Newnham reported this week that he's going to keep him to 1400 and below. He's had a couple of failed attempts at a mile at Group 1 level, so just going to be restricted to the shorter trips. And his first up running the Missile in the spring was excellent, so I think he'll be running on hard. They'll be my plays in the Exotics, and in for fourth, I'll throw in number 2, Dream Force. Very genuine horse.
The big one for race goers rather than punters is race 6, the Star Apollo Stakes, Group 2, standard weight for age, 1400 metres. And well, Joel, I mean, in previous campaigns when Wix has resumed, you've sort of been able to make a case, you know, is she hungry again? Will she get too far back? You know, will something, you know, will she get blocked? Will something go wrong? Cannot see any possible way she won't win this race comfortably.
Yeah, just, you just can't get a beat, can you? You try, but just can't find anything to beat her. So look, she wins, and Happy Clapper probably runs second. He's had 4 clashes with Winx. I think he's had eight or 9 overall, but 4 at 1600 or below, and 3 times has finished runner up to her. His trial the other day was excellent. He should sit second just off Tom Melbourne, who should lead, really. I know he settled a bit further back first up in the Carrington. He broke the Hoodoo. And no reason why he won't run a place again. I just think that's the trifecta, unless Unforgotten launches late and nabs one of them. And she could. She was okay in the Winx Stakes, first up in the spring, beaten 3.8. And it was really after the line, sort of on the line and just past the line, where she was really surging and doing her best. And that may be what she's doing again. So I've just put her in for fourth, even though she's a favourite of mine. But 5 from 147.
Quality race this next one, race 7, TAB Light Fingers Stakes, Group 2 for 3-year-old fillies at level weights, and there's 11 of them in it. 8 of them are resuming, including some high-quality young fillies, and the other 3 are all last start winners, so quality packed, Joel.
Yeah, well, similar to that Southern Cross Stakes with Brutal, and that sort of been sucked in a little bit to the favourite here, and I'll put her on top, Miss Fabulous. She's just got that much of a spruik on her, and she looked really good in the spring, it must be said. She beat Ranier first up. Her Furious Stakes was pretty good second up behind Pure Elation, and then she beat Fiesta and was superb in the flight, over-raced, caught wide, went forward and just kept batting away at the finish, and it was a 4-way go, and she just got nabbed. Her trials have been good. Similar to Brutal, I won't be backing her straight out, but I've got her on top, and I'll be playing Exotics around my next 2 numbers, 9 and 10. I've put Nikita Jane in for second. We don't know how good she is. Speaking to Mark Newnham this week, he'd be surprised if she won over 1,200 first up. She's never raced below 14, but like he said, she's a quality filly, and you never want to say that these sort of horses can't win. What she did in her first prep was excellent. She was super on debut, And then she beat Rainier in a maiden and ran third in a flight and another bound. She would have won it. And that was all in her first prep. She's trialled up quite well leading into this. So she'll be charging. I think number 9, Madame Rouge, is there to run well first up. Don't think we saw the best of her in the spring. She started 6.50, I think third favourite against Miss Fabulous and the T-Row. She pulled up lame. Pulled up lame in the Dulcify as well, that form line we spoke of earlier. And then her next couple of runs were quite solid. She ran well in Melbourne at the end of the carnival. Her two recent trials have been excellent. So I think she's the overs. And number 1, Uhud. She'll be hitting the line hard. We saw her just sort of running well without winning before getting to the flight. I think at her third or fourth run in and winning the big one last prep. And she'll probably be getting warm late again. 6, 10, 9, 1.
Race 8 at Randwick on Saturday. Robrick Lodge Triskay Stakes, also over the 1,200 metres. This one for the 4-year-old and up mares at Group 3 level. And here we see, Joel, your value bet for the day.
Yeah, and probably a race, again, I can probably back 2 horses and box up a few exotics. But I've gone Bella Martini. Didn't win one through the spring, but probably a bit stiff not to. She's won 5 from 14 overall. Her spring campaign was definitely, a pass mark, as I said, without winning. She was very good first up. She just got shuffled back at the wrong time and then bit one pace, and then she hit the line really well late to finish on the heels of Osborne Ball's Land of Plenty, which is, you know, genuine Group 1 form, especially against mares, which she races against on Saturday. And then she finished her campaign with a very brave effort in the Empire Rose, 3 and 4 wide the trip, and was still there whacking away at the finish. Drawn wide again, which she drew a few wide barriers in the spring, but I've lent her way at $9 or $10. I can definitely have something on Frolic at around $23, number 8. She placed in a golden slipper during her 2-year-old campaign and sort of, you know, mixed it a little bit with Elise. She was okay in the autumn, didn't have a lot of luck on a few occasions. I think drawing barrier 1 was ideal a few times. I thought her first up run was pretty good behind Single Bullet and Jungle Edge. Just 1,000 metres was too sharp. I expect her to run well. In for third, number 1, I Am Excited. Beat Eduardo and Bonds Away in a Group 2 back in the spring. That's outstanding form. And number 2, Invincible Gem. Hasn't won for a long time. That's my knock on her. But again, she's got form against the boys as well. 4, 8, 1, 2.
All right, well, race 8, number 4 is your value bet, Bella Martini. Your best comes up earlier on the program in the Stayers Benchmark 78. There's a warm favourite here for Waller in Gayatri, but your best comes up against that horse and is marked in double figures.
Yeah, that 10-1 Fabricator, number 10. Look, not one of the highlights of the card. It'll be a highlight for me if he wins, but just the 2,400 metre benchmark, what is it, 78, so not one of the quality events, but I thought this bloke could give you a great sight. Up on the pace, his last 2 runs, he's just been so brave at the 1900. He's got to get 24, which is another step, obviously, but I think with the 53 kilos, Rachel King, we saw her get away with a race last week, rating her horse out in front to perfection. I reckon he's going to give you a great sight. Yeah, Gayatri, she's the emerging horse in the race. She's won 4 from 6. She had every possible chance last start. She did win. She is a winner. Just don't think she's an even money pop.
At Morfordville, they're racing on the course proper on Saturday. Race 8, Looms, is a fairly interesting affair because our 3 tipsters have all got their best bets in that race and they're all different horses. But the one that James Jordan is going with, along with Paul Richards, is number 10, Light the Waves. Been very good in 2 runs this preparation. Dominant rounding him up last time. And drawn wide, just snags back. And James expects the pace to be on sufficiently for her to round them up again. And his other 2 gems in your winning post this week, race 7, number 7, Accessibile, and earlier on the card, one had a bit of odds here. He wants to back 1 by 3, 1 win unit, 3 place units, and that is race 3, number 1, Leader, who is at $11 in your winning post. Further north, not massive fields by Brisbane Saturday standards, Joel, as we return to Doomben.
Yeah, tricky program and couldn't get overly keen, to be honest, but I've made my best bet. Race 6, number 14, Kitty Kins, daughter of Sepoy. She's the half-sister to Catkins, that great mare. Yet to see a wet track, and that's perhaps where she's going to really show her best. We know Catkins loved the sting out of the track. We're not going to get it wet on Saturday, so again, she's going to have to contend with a firm surface, but she showed good promise last prep. She's trialled well, drawn quite nicely. should settle sort of, you know, top five, top six, and hopefully get every chance. So she'll be an each way price, but I've made it my best. And my value, again, from the Tony Golan yard, this horse is hard to catch. I'm just hoping Saturday's the day. Race 3, number 5, El Campeador. Had the two runs back from a spell. Hasn't set the world on fire, but that's him. He can just put in a few flat ones before he's ready to win. Mile seems to be his go, and especially third up. And the smallish field, he's not going to give away too much of a start. Larry Cassidy aboard too. He was on him for his last win back in November. So he's next best at around $7 or $8 each way.
Ascot, once again, the venue. Well, when I say once again, it was Pinjarra last week, but this week it is back to Ascot. Cyril Flower Stakes. There's, in fact, two stakes races. The Cyril Flower is a listed event over 1,200 metres. There is a short price favourite here. No surprises to learn that it is trained by Adam Durant, owned by Peters Investments, and ridden by W. Pike. And that is race 4, number 4. Celebrity Dream. BJ Ryan has the mare on top. Does seem, you know, won the stakes race, I think, for the Scenic Blast last time, and suited again. 55 kilos gets in with, and the only danger has 5.5 more, and that's the main danger, and that's first among equals, number 1. So that's race 4, number 4, Celebrity Dream. The other one is the Challenge Stakes, race 6. And BJ, likes coming around. Sorry, I should say Creative Hero. I'm really staying. I'm under hard riding now, Joel. You know, I get up early on a Thursday. This is G&A Williams with W. Pike once again in the series with crossed sashes. It's Creative Hero. Race 6, number 7 is BJ's selection. However, his value and best bets come outside those stakes races. Best bet race 7, number 4, Neurological. Value bet race 5, number 12, Rose's Shadow. Across now, earlier in the day, to Ellerslie for the Avondale meeting featuring the Avondale Guineas and Cup.
Yeah, big, what's the final lead in really to the New Zealand Derby in a fortnight's time, and Chris Waller has sent a couple of three-year-olds across, and I think they can be more than competitive. One needs a scratching to get a run, Nobu. Botty already in the field. Botty's a horse we've heard big raps on for some time. Used to be with Baker Forsman and came across for the spring. He was high up in Vic Derby markets. Things didn't pan out. He's been going along quite well for Waller, as has Nobu. I thought Nobu should have won in Sydney last start. Botty just beat him home, but Nobu didn't have much luck. I think they can both measure up. I've gone Nobu if he gets in. 16 from 4 cut a deal. I think he's clearly the best of the locals. 15 Botty and 1 Vernon Mee. Nobu is my value bet. He's also in race 8 as a contingency, a backup plan. He's drawn 21, so again, you know, even if he gets a run or has to run in that race, he's going to do it tough. But Opie Boson to ride, and yeah, he should be hard to beat in that race if they miss a run in the big one. Sondrine is my best for the meeting, race 4, number 5. 3 seconds and a fourth this prep, so I guess it's getting close to D-Day. Just did a bit too much work last time. Did battle on quite well. Barrier 3. Hopefully gets a softer run. She should be hard to beat. She deserves to break through. And down in the South Island, the other meeting is at Ascot Park. The best bet is Weaponry. Race 7, number 3. A beaten favourite last time out behind Air Max, who's the number 1 in this race. But should have probably won. Was held up in behind them and didn't have much luck. And my value bet is Moral Mac. Race 10, number 9. Hasn't been down in the South for long. Is already showing some improvement. It was a nice fourth last time out.
Alrighty, that wraps up a massive Saturday of racing around Australasia. Don't forget to pick up your winning post if you haven't already. It's not just Saturday in there. We start on Friday. We go through Friday night full form for both your city meetings, Canterbury and the Valley, and then we press on through to some big meetings on Sunday. We've got full form for Moe, Werribee, Sunshine Coast, and of course the big country championship qualifier meeting at Port Macquarie. Fields for everywhere else. All your favourite columnists and features still only $5.50 at your newsagents. If you have trouble getting it, if you find it sold out, give us a ring. We're interested to know and see what we can do about it. Best $20 bet of the weekend, Joel.
I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to take a running double at Flemington, so you can take it for $5. That'll cost you $20. Race 7, we'll take Mickey Blue Eyes as a blowout and Adana, who is my best, into the Lightning in her time and graph.
All right, well, I'm going to give you yet another interest in the seventh, because I'm going to go $10 each way. Number eight, The Inevitable. Have a great weekend, everybody. Back plenty of winners, and we'll talk to you next week on the Preview Podcast.